There it is. Oh, yeah. It's Game of Thrones 805. We don't know the name of it. It's probably called the Clegane Bowl and other bullshit.
It's just, its name is Asterix, Air Horns, Asterix.
Aeron. Aeron.
Okay.
Don't tell me what you're thinking here. Actually, tell me what the Double D's are thinking.
I don't know. I had talked myself into, fan bankruptcy and all that. And, I was 40 minutes in this episode, and I'm like, I'm not really sure how they got the road they took to get to the Mad Queen, but, Emilia Clarke really sold her being a Mad Queen, and I thought some stuff was handled well, and, they won the battle, and the bells are ringing, and then she went ape shit, and I'm like, well, okay, but this is Dany being, saying she wants to rule through fear instead of love, because the man who loved her turned her away because she's gross, she's his aunt. And then we got to a scene where Euron washed up on a beach and screamed Kingslayer.
He got straight up to Dracarist, and then...
And I'm like, fuck this. This is showrunner malpractice. Like, I honestly think this is borderline actionable. I can't believe people that are fans of George Martin's work and have been this close to the series would think this would make anyone happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they subverted everyone's expectations because they didn't fall through with any shit except for, yes, the Clegane's bold. Mm-hmm. It meant fuck all, because at the point of the Clegane Bowl, the Cersei wasn't being protected. There was no stakes other than Sandor killing his brother, and they did that. And so you got a A-plus Clegane Bowl, I think, in a F-minus episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was trying to give this episode the benefit of the doubt right up until the point where we got the King's Landing Dracarys, and Dany, for what I can tell is absolutely no reason, ended up destroying all of King's Landing.
Yeah.
She had won the battle. She had won the fucking war. She had actually won the second of the two major wars. Mm-hmm. Could have waltzed right in and become queen and started ruling over the people, and she decided to fucking burn each and every single one of them.
And if she wanted to go up and burn Red Keep to the ground, and maybe they're going to use some kind of pretext on that that's why she went Mad Queen, because she tore it down, or there'd be collateral damage. But the wholesale, systematic, street-by-street destruction of every living man, woman, and child that the Unsullies got into, that the Dothraki got into, that the Northmen got into,
Fear is not a good enough reason here. And it's interesting because I said after this episode ended and credits started to roll, I'm like, I have got to watch the Double D's defend this fucking decision. Mm-hmm. And they don't. Like, you go to the end of this and they say, oh, yeah, well, Dany did this. Dany did that.
And these things happened to Dany. Of course, the Unsullied are going to. And that all makes sense. But
they never even addressed the question of why.
Yeah.
They never even tried to come up with the reason for any of this to happen.
Yeah.
This is maybe the worst. No, let me take that back. This is not maybe the worst. This is the worst episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
period.
No,
and I've seen some bad ones in season 5 with the fucking Sand Snakes. I've seen some bullshit happening in episode 7. I just don't understand what the fuck they were thinking with this episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's like so many bad. Like I said, I feel like the first 40 minutes of this gave me a little hope that, like, okay, if people can swallow the Mad Queen theory, then they'll be able to tell a story that'll make people happy, that we'll get to a certain. But like, I just felt like they forced it. Because they did a lot of heavy lifting. Like, when I was watching the previously on, they had Emilia Clarke's face as once she was learning that Missandei was, thrown off beheaded and thrown off the walls. And they had all the quotes over all the years of the gods flip the coin and, don't wake the dragon or don't anger the dragon and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, they're doing a lot of stuff with previously ons here, but I could buy it.
Well, they got her right up to the edge last episode, and I thought that was pretty well told. But then they did not tell me what pushed her over.
And it just makes me mad because the whole episode I was talking myself into things. Like, I was reeling once it became clear that Jaime was actually you know, because I defended, it's like, oh, you guys are idiots if you think that Jaime actually is going to go back to be with Cersei. There's no fucking way. He's just doing that. He's just telling that to Brienne so she doesn't fall. He's going to go and he's going to do his part with the Valonqar prophecy, which that's a big joke now. And it turns out that they were telling the story just straight up that Jaime decided at the last minute that he's got to be back with Cersei and die with her, even though he had this experience with Brienne. And it just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Nothing about that. Like how Jaime even got to Cersei. Their like flight to the dungeons, like as the ceiling was collapsing on them, I'm like, who wanted to see this end for Jaime and Cersei? Is there a single person out there that wanted to see it? And does any of this like Cersei's self-absorbed involvement of it like tracks? But like, I don't understand why Jaime's doing it. I don't understand why Jaime's going along with it. I don't understand why Arya, on the precipice of fulfilling her destiny and taking off one of the biggest names from her list. You know, Sandor gives her like, oh, you've got the innocence. You're still got a chance to live and all that stuff. And she buys it like. And then she becomes a shittier version of Captain America in the Battle of New York from the first Avengers, where she's just kind of running. She's a less successful, shittier version of Cap America in the first Avengers movie, trying to run traffic control and survival damage control on the ground. Mm. And, you know,
I mean, I knew they were going to have a hard time servicing Arya and Jaime. Because I thought they both had the same goal.
Right. No, right? We were kind of joking that there's going to be like a Valonqar race. Like, uh-huh. Who's going to be the first one to wrap their hands around Cersei's throat and
It turns
squeeze.
Out nobody was.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody was.
Yeah.
Dany just sort of accidentally killed her.
The like, Hound just let Cersei get... Like, I don't understand... I would actually rather seen the Hound just casually dispatch Cersei as she's running past him than the way that actually went.
Yeah, I didn't like anything about this episode.
How about Euron? I'll stay with Euron. How about Euron, the way he died? I'm the man.
I'm not convinced he's dead. I mean, he got hit with dragonfire. What's a gut wound?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Jaime had two, and he died when it was dramatically appropriate. Yeah, that was apparently. Not a dramatically appropriate for the dumbest fucking Greyjoy alive, which... That's saying a lot. Of course, I guess the only two dumbass Greyjoys alive at the point was Yara and him, so he's definitely the dumb. But I don't know. If I'm HBO, I'm looking to sue these guys. These guys have a 3-picture deal with Walt Disney to make a Star Wars trilogy. That needs to be torn up. That we need to get the.
I don't know if you could sue them.
Yeah,
you hired them to tell a fucking story, and they told the story.
I was told by a lawyer once you can be sued for breathing in this country. So like,
they certainly won't win it.
Taking a $1 billion franchise and running it into the edge of a cliff is got to be worth somebody's.
I can't imagine how you could prove.
I'm not being serious.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, if I like to me, like I used to manage. I used to run a couple IT shops, and this is the equivalent of like one of my network engineers on his last day deleting all the backups and then deleting all the production data and then pissing on the server rack. Mm-hmm. Like this, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll be surprised and everybody in the planet loves it except for me. But to me, this almost kills interest in Game of Thrones. And HBO has a lot of interest in Game of Thrones that they wanted to maintain. I don't know how quickly people will move on. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously the diehard book people are going to wait for George Martin. But like, out of the 150 plus million people watching this around the globe, how many of the people are, after all is said and done, are going to be like, well, I'm going to read the books that aren't even finished yet. And I want to keep up with that and follow. Like, it's almost the worst possible case scenario. And the writing has been on the wall this entire season that this was going to head this way. And I think if anything, I predict the internet's going to be even more aflame, because I think a lot of people were holding off some criticism of the Battle of Winterfell, thinking that, well, the real battle was always with the humans and the other thing was just a distraction and kind of a ticking time. How do you hang your hat on any of that shit now?
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, even so the signs were there that I was not going to like this episode early on, because as I stated in, you know, previous podcasts, I was looking for Varys and Tyrion to sort of face off a little bit.
Right.
For something to happen behind the scenes. It starts with Varys writing a fucking letter and then dying. Like, he just gets called out immediately and then killed.
Yeah.
And that was completely unsatisfying. And then,
although
we
I
got
will
the
say
rest
that,
of what
like,
we got.
So here's a part where, like, when you're right, and I thought it was dumb that Varys, Chris, he was trying to force it, right? He knew he was being watched, and he's like, you know what? If this ends up being worth it, then it's worth it. Now, yeah. His little political gambit he played, I don't
But he's
like,
always been so much smarter than that. And I,
right.
Like, that's the biggest letdown to me, is that Varys would ever get fucking caught.
And I can't imagine
By who?
Yeah.
Who was he caught by? By Daenerys?
The Unsullied, apparently.
The Unsullied don't know shit about spycraft.
Yeah.
But, they're unthinking fucking soldiers. How did they catch him? None of that made sense for the character.
That's because the thing is, I can make up a couple of reasons why it could possibly be the case, but it's like, I don't think the episode explained it. But I will say, I was trying to get to the point where I thought Varys and Tyrion kind of like having that little moment of like, I hope I deserve this. I hope that I'm not wrong about Dany. I actually thought that is
a
scene
nice
from
moment.
A much better. And like Drogon coming out of the shadows, mm-hmm. and Dracarys in his ass was fucking really cool.
There was a lot of cool looking shit in this, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Like I said, because I thought Varys pushing Jon, like as he gets off the beach and being like, hey, want to commit treason against the queen that you're so hot for that I know all, like,
that's,
but here's
that
the thing,
out of character again.
Here's the thing, like, the double D's were offered a 10 episode slate for this season, and they're like, no, we can do it. And, you know, which, I mean, I guess they did it, they're doing like eight hours versus 10 hours, but I feel like they could have used those extra 2 hours, because there needed to be a beat where Varys goes from hatching the plan to like soft selling John to like desperation full court pressing John. But he went for the full court press, and it felt like, this is
sloppy,
it
and
felt
that is
sloppy.
Not Varys.
It felt sloppy.
That is the last thing Varys is.
Yeah, but like I mean, if you're an Arya fan, I don't see how. I mean, what do you like? And the other thing is, like, as I was watching this happen, and everybody's like, "Well, we gotta, you know, the only option is to storm the city and kill everybody, or sit back and do nothing." I'm like, kind of getting angry that Arya is got this plan to kill Cersei, and she's not telling it to anyone, and no one also, like Jon, like when they're drawing up the battle plans, like, you know what, my sister is really fucking good at killing people without being seen or heard. I mean, we just have seen people get snuck in and out of King's Landing during wartime before. Like, the fact that no one on the show actually said, like, in a better show, someone has said, well, why don't we send the hero of the Long Night in to kill Cersei? Battle's over. It's done. Like, why weren't multiple people suggesting different ways that could happen? Instead, it's just like, oh, I guess it's we got to kill everyone in King's Landing. And then they told the story. Like, again, like, I'm just gobsmacked that they had the balls to tell the story that Dany won a decisive surgical strike against King's Landing's utter total victory. Like, maybe Cersei holds up in Maegor's Holdfast for a couple of days or whatever, and maybe Cersei has to burn that one small part to the ground. But why they felt the need to have the bells ring and then Dany just goes berserk,
yeah,
and kills.
That's what I mean when I say there was absolutely no why there. She had won the war. All she had to do was take a few Unsullied and march right up to that keep, take out Cersei, and the throne is hers. And if they had done anything, because I'm ready, yeah. I'm willing to believe. Last week I was defending how great of a story they've told of her being right on the fucking edge.
Right.
And if they had done a single thing to nudge her over,
yeah.
I would have been all on board. I would have been like, yes, this is mad
Drogon
Queen Dany.
Drogon gets killed by the last
crossbow. It gets
cross
hit in a fucking, in the tail. Yeah. And like isn't killed, but is wounded. And she's like worried about her dragon, her last dragon dying,
yeah.
her last kid dying. I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'm all the fuck in. And they did none of that.
Yeah.
No, they gave me absolutely no reason why she would burn the city.
They just made her out to be just a massive fucking dick. Like, there's dialogue in where it's like, well, you know, my people, my true people freed themselves, and I just had to, I'm like, man, I don't know. And, you know, listening to the Double D's and they're, like, just drone on and how smarmy they are, like, I can just tell, like, oh, you know, they're going to be like, look at the ash falling from the sky, just like in Dany's dream. Look at Drogon's shadow, just like in Bran's dream. We did such a beautiful job of foreshadowing this. The only reason people are hating this is because it's not that it wasn't their perfect ending that they want. Like, no, fuck you guys. There was a lot of track led up to very obvious destinations. The only thing you ever paid off was the Clegane Bowl, and again, the Clegane Bowl meant nothing. It's like the Super Bowl. Only it was like the Super Bowl was a preseason game that meant nothing. Like, if the Hound dies and the Mountain wins, it meant nothing. If the Mountain dies and the Hound lived, it meant nothing other than the Hound maybe can have a scene of him trying to figure out now what next episode. Like, none of it meant there was zero story stakes. Zero.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what else I have to say about the Dragonfire. Oh, how about the caches of wildfire cooking off in the background?
Yeah, like, what's the point?
What the fuck?
I almost think they're going for, like, something thematic where they're saying, look, this
wildfire,
is all happening.
Wildfire, Targaryens be cray. Like,
no, this is all happening because Cersei and Dany, they're equally responsible. I almost think they're going for that kind of thematic thing, but at the same time, like, the wildfire is not the problem here.
Right.
Dany on her dragon is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that a wildfire is like, that what they're saying is like, if Dany hadn't done this, Cersei would have pulled the ripcord on that. But like, would people have listened? Because everyone was surrendering, all of her household guards, like everyone's throwing, and she had the thing is, she wanted to fear, she had to fear. Drogon roaring at everybody would terrified them. There, everyone's throwing their swords down.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have been the fearsome queen, and then people would learn to, This none of this shit felt earned. It's just like this was Rhaegal getting shot out of the sky by fucking Euron with a 1 in a million shot from a stealth fleet times infinity. And there's no hope for anything better. Next episode.
There's nothing that can salvage.
Next episode, everyone gangs up and kills Dany, and probably Grey Worm dies defending. And it's going to be like, that's going to be super fun to watch. All of our heroes join up to kill Dany because she deserves death because she did something very stupid and inexplicable.
Guess Varys was right.
Yeah,
Varys was right.
Well, he's the only one for the realm. Should have put him on the fucking Iron Throne. His dusty powdered robed ass on the Iron Throne.
I don't know. I don't know if it'd fit him.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to have probably some more harsh words on Tuesday. Some well thought out harsh words, I imagine.
A plus firewalking all the stuntmen. There's like a couple dozen stuntmen that got on fire and looked really cool doing it.
Yeah, this episode looks incredible.
Some of the gore
looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah, like they went for broke telling a battle that was confusing and didn't matter, and like, because honestly, it's Danny just carpet bombing King's Landing. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah,
so like the fact that John's men would debase themselves by raping them. I mean, they're telling, like, I can see the double D's like slapping themselves back, like, hey, we're saying something smart about war. Like even the heroes going to rape and rin. Like, yeah, that's all true, but okay.
And then, you know, the callbacks to season one,
mm-hmm.
Where the Hound saves Sansa from a similar fate, and John does this in that episode. Like, I mean, they're going for something there, but it's overshadowed by just boneheaded choices.
Plus the ham fit, like, what were they doing with the constant edits between Sandor getting his ass kicked and Arya getting trampled? Like,
so they have obviously over the years drawn a connection between these two characters, but I don't know that they made a direct enough connection in this episode me to understand what that was about.
Yeah, like their trajectories were going in opposite directions, so why are we contrasting? Like, there was no real connection to the characters. Like, it's weird. It's like, well, these characters are definitely thematically connected, so let's just start cutting like 3 seconds of each of their timelines together and show a physical connection. Like, Sandor's getting beat down, Arya's getting beat down, but I don't know. Arya just killed the Night King 2 episodes ago, and she's running around like you know, the scared little girl at King's Landing running from the Lannister guards. I don't know. It's such a weird arc for her. Like, I mean, I guess all of her training went to kill the Night King, but that felt like an anticlimax. And like, these guys, woof. I wouldn't trust them with any franchise I gave a shit about. So we got to get Star Wars isn't enough trouble, people. We can't let the double D's do this kind of shit. I mean, wow.
Well, they won't. The good news is they won't have to spend a fucking decade on it. And they won't have an opportunity to really get that tired of it.
I mean, I feel like the double D's are Cersei the Mad Queen. Like, I don't know if this is it true, but like, and it's, I've been trying to like argue against it the last few weeks, but just felt so malicious. It felt like, you know what? We're sick of this shit. We're tired of trying to fucking spin Martin's lead into gold. Fuck it. We're just going to just burn this thing down. And like I said, it just as I was watching, I'm like, this feels very malicious. This feels like somebody this feels like people direct messaging people like Avengers spoilers. This feels like people direct messaging people Game of Thrones spoilers. This feels like they were taking delight in pissing on. I don't know that. I'm being over the top and ridiculous, but goddamn.
Here's the upside.
Yeah.
George Martin has a big opportunity here.
Yeah.
Tell this story in a more elegant way.
Yeah. I read an interview today where he was talking to somebody or some magazine, or maybe he was just doing it on his blog, where he was just reminding people that he's still writing Wind of Winters, which, great, George.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us know you're still working on it.
Right.
I'm feeling pretty low as a Game of Thrones fan who's invested a shit ton of time and effort and mental and emotional energy trying to follow this thing and figure this thing out and study it, and I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I got a degree in alchemy. it's an impressive degree in a science that's not real and doesn't matter. And yeah. Anyway,
I'm with you.
Shall we see what everybody else has to say?
Yeah, I think that's gonna be the end of our instant take portion.
This is the part where we have given our opinion, and for club members that can join us live on our YouTube chat feature. I am very curious to see what everybody has to say, but that's for club members, and you can join at club.baldmove.com if you want to get in. Without further ado,